You're listening to Direction for Life broadcast with Drs. Herbert and Marcia Bailey. For more information, visit rightdirection.info. We hope you enjoy today's broadcast.
Today, Dr. Herbert Bailey continues with the fear of the Lord.
Hebrews, the second chapter, verse 1. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard. Everybody say, have heard. That means, you know, sometimes I think people can get in error so many times and open up yourselves to all type of erroneous doctrine because everybody's trying to get something new, trying to be on the cutting edge. And the Bible says, give more earnest heed to the things which we have heard. Not necessarily new stuff. Go back and really focus on the stuff that you know, the things that you have heard, lest at any time we let them slip. So you can see, everybody thinks backsliding means that you don't go to club no more. Now you're in the club. You used to smoke weed. Now you don't smoke weed now anymore. Now you're smoking weed again. And that may be a form of backsliding. But can I tell you, backsliding doesn't just occur like that. Backsliding comes from you living by a certain standard in your life based upon the word, but you no longer live by that standard anymore. Backsliding occurs in degrees. And this scripture there is scripture about backsliding, that we have to give attention to the things that we have heard. That's any time we let them slip. We just let it slip out of our way, slip out of our memories. And I'm sure that even during this series, some of us, we're like, man, I know that. But we've been reminded of what does God require of us. That we don't just become conformed to this world, but constantly be renewed by the word of God. And renewed and transformed by the word of God. And so we started talking about what are the benefits. We talked about what it means to fear the Lord. We talked about three things that cause us not to walk in the fear of the Lord. And that's fearing people more. And secondly, that with bad associations, you know, that we just get around other folks who just kind of make us more casual in our walk towards God. And then the third thing, we just kind of forget what God's done for us. We just kind of get on automatic pilot. And then we started talking about the benefits of walking the fear of the Lord. We said, number one, he caused our enemies to be at peace with us. Secondly, that we have clear conscience from condemnation, which then causes us to have, third, answered prayer. And then as a result of having answered prayer, we also have divine protection. Let's pick up there, and then I'll move on, because if I ended with it last week, that means I rushed it. Psalm 34 and verse 7, it says, the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that what fear him, and he delivers them. It's something about walking with confidence. I got angels surrounding me. Hallelujah. We've often preached from I believe the 2 Kings, where the prophet was giving the secrets of the Syrian army. And the Syrian king said, listen, he thought he had a snitch, a spy among them. They said, no, you got this prophet down there in Israel. And he even knows what's going on in your bedroom. And he's the one who's revealing your strategy. And the prophet said, well, let's go after him. I believe that was Elisha. Let's go after him. And they surrounded the whole city with thousands and tens of thousands of soldiers to come after one man. Every time I read that, I get excited. That tells us that you're more powerful than you think you are. Because he didn't bring... Now, if he said that was Samson, I might understand that. Samson was known to fight. Samson was known to kill 1,000 men with the jawbone of a donkey. But this was just a prophet who had words. Didn't say he was a big prophet. Didn't say he was a muscular prophet. He was just a prophet who spoke the word of God. When you know the word of God and you speak the word of God and believe the word of God, you are dangerous to the enemy. Amen. And he surrounded him and the PPA, the prophet's personal assistant. He goes out to get the morning paper, maybe get the morning coffee, and he looks and he sees all these soldiers surrounding the city, and he said, runs into the prophet, said, what shall we do? And the prophet tells him, Hakuna Matata. Look at your neighbor, say, Hakuna Matata. Tell him what it means. It means no worry. And by the way, that is true. One of our members who told me that his country, they speak that language. And it really means no worries. So Hakuna Matata Okay? Means no worries. And so he told them, chill out. There are more with us than with them. And he said, Lord, open up his eyes that he might see. And he laid his hands on the man, on the prophet. And when he opened up his eyes, he saw that even though the city was surrounded, there were chariots of fire that were surrounding Elisha. And the prophet said, there are more with us than with them. Say that. Say, there's more with us than with them. When you are living a life that you know you're pleasing God, you need to walk with the confidence. There's more with me than with them. That the enemy cannot touch me. That no weapon formed against me shall prosper. I am under divine protection. Everybody say, I'm under divine protection. Now, I really wish I could tell you that divine protection means you'll never be laid off. I wish divine protection means you'll never have a problem. It means that it will never look like you're losing. I wish that I could tell you that's what it means. No, what I'm telling you, divine protection means even if you're laid off, you're still protected. Even if you lose the house, God gonna give you another house. Even if you lose the car, God's still going to get you where you need to go. I'm talking about divine protection that the enemy cannot ultimately do everything he wants to do in your life. Divine protection. The angel of the Lord encamped round about them that fear. And then he does what? He delivers them. Everybody say, I will be delivered. I don't know what you're going through right now, but I'm here to encourage you. If you walk in the fear of the Lord, you will be delivered, glory to God. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but he delivered us out of them all. Somebody shout, I will be delivered. I don't care if you're in a financial situation or a physical situation or a marriage situation or your children in a situation or your family in a situation. You got to let it be your confession. I will be delivered. I'm coming out of this and I'm going to come out better and I'm going to come out with the spoils of everything that God has for me that will make the devil regret that he ever messed with me. Psalm 91, we've been talking about that often. Psalm 91 in verse 14 and 15, it says to this person who makes up his mind he's going to live in that secret place, and you choose to live in the secret place. You're not accidentally in the secret place. You choose to make the secret place, this intimate place of relationship with the Lord, you choose to live there. Or you can choose to live down at the club if you want to. Or you can choose to live in a secret place. Psalm 91 verse 14, it says, because he has set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high. I'm going to talk about that in a moment. God said, I will promote you. Because you have known my name. Watch it. Verse 15, he shall call upon me. I will answer him. We talked about that last week. Answered prayer. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him. And I will honor him. I'm glad that Psalm 91 and 15, it ends with those three things. It says in trouble, it says delivered, and then he says honor. Can I tell you those are three separate things? Can I tell you this, that God can't be with you in trouble unless you're in trouble? Oh, you didn't catch that. God can't be with you in trouble unless you're in trouble. Now, I understand all of us, we should deliberately be trying to avoid trouble. Anything that we know can cause trouble, decisions that can cause, we ought to try to avoid those things. But there's some trouble you don't ask for. Some trouble you just going to have just because you're a child of God. Some trouble you're going to have just because you live in these United States of America. Some trouble you're going to have just because you're a human being. Some trouble you're going to have just because we live under a fallen world. Are you hearing me? And everybody's always looking to blame somebody. Sometimes it's just trouble because of trouble. Amen. I was talking to someone, and you know, we got two bad reports this week of people in our church who went through some things. And I told them, I said, I really wish I could give you an answer. If I could give you the perfect answer for why you went through this, surely I would. I would press into God. I pray in the Holy Ghost. I don't know why we go through the things that we go through, even for righteous people. But I know many of the afflictions, not of the sinners, many of the afflictions of the righteous. And yet, I got to remember the latter part. But he going to deliver me out of them all. I can't be delivered out of affliction unless I got some afflictions. I can't experience restoration unless something been jacked up. unless something been torn down, unless something looked like it's been destroyed. That's the only way I can experience restoration. Are you hearing me? So at first he says, I'll be with him in trouble. Some of you right now, you may be in trouble. The word of the Lord to you is, I'm with you in your trouble. And then he says, and as a result of you being in your trouble, now I will deliver you out of your trouble. We all like to talk about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego being delivered out the fiery furnace. But can I tell you, the Bible did not say they were delivered from the fiery furnace. They were not delivered from the fiery furnace. They were delivered out of the fiery furnace. They were in the fiery furnace. But God got them out. Would you encourage somebody about around you right now, tell them, God's going to get you out. God's going to get you out. Come on, say it like you believe it. God's going to get you out. Maybe you just need to encourage yourself. Throw your head back and say, God's going to get me out. Be with him in trouble, I'll deliver him. And then he says, I will honor him. Honor means putting you in a place of promotion. Can I tell you, honor means God will put you in an honorable place. Honor means God raised you up where other folks can see you. Honor means God will, I will put you on a shelf that folks got to put some respect on your name. Glory to God. With you in trouble, deliver you, then I will honor you. And then we looked at Malachi 3, 16 through 18. It talks about those who fear the Lord, how we talk. When you fear the Lord, you got to talk different than other people. I was walking out of the, went shopping for my sweater. So I was walking out the mall, and I heard the woman say, I'm walking to car, I'm walking to car, and she said, I know I'm about to have a stroke. I said, what is wrong with you? I said, she was just saying that playing. That ain't the kind of words you play with. Have you ever seen the results of someone who has a stroke? Those ain't words you just play with. I'm about to have a heart attack. So sick I can die. My feet killing me. Well, what they die for? Last I knew, they told me their feet. Yeah, because they check your heart. They check your heart. They check your blood. Nobody check your feet when somebody died. But some people, I'm sure that the autopsy really done their feet killed them. Because they've been confessing all their life. My feet killing me. Are you hearing me? See, when you fear the Lord, you're mindful that Jesus is the high priest of your profession. You're mindful that I need to speak words that Jesus can administrate over and take before the Father. I explained that the high priest position is an administrative position. So he said, those who fear the Lord spoke often to each other, and the Lord listened to what they said. I want you to know God's listening to what you're saying. This is Malachi 3:16. I'm reading New Living Translation. And the Lord listened to what they said in his presence. And a scroll of remembrance was written to record the names of those who feared him and always thought about the honor of his name. And God said, they will be my people, says the Lord. They will be mine. On the day that when I act in judgment, they will be my own special treasure. So God said, when other things hit other folks, it ain't going to hit you. I will spare you. Are you hearing me? I will spare them as a father spares his obedient child. And then you'll again see the difference between the righteous and the wicked, between those who serve the Lord and those who don't. Watch your words if you walk in the fear of the Lord, if you expect to be delivered out of your trouble. Let me move on here. Number five, fifth benefit of walking in the fear of the Lord is no lack. Everybody say no lack. I don't know. I wonder how many of y'all really embrace that. That as a child of God who walks in the fear of the Lord, you should have no lack in your life. I didn't get to abundance yet. I didn't get to more than enough yet. I didn't get to millionaire status yet. I didn't get to Mercedes yet. I didn't get to investment property yet. Are you hearing me? I didn't get to employees yet. No, I'm just talking about no lack. Because if you don't ever believe you won't lack, you'll never get to those other stages. You got to get it settled that every need I have should be met. And it will be met. Say that. Say, I will have no lack in my life. Glory to God. Psalm 34. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Oh, fear the Lord, ye his saints. Honor the Lord. Esteem him. Be conscious of him. Live your life to please him. Because when you do, there is no want to them that fear the Lord, that honor the Lord, that reverence the Lord, that want to obey him, that want to please him. There is no want. Want and lack is the same word. No lack. That means deficiency of need. There's no deficiency of need. Anything that I need, I'm supposed to have it. Because I walk in the fear of the Lord. And because I walk in the fear of the Lord, I'll end up walking in the comfort of the Holy Ghost. Psalm 37:3. Trust in the Lord. Do good. Everybody telling you it don't matter what you do. I still believe this word is applicable to right now in this dispensation. God still want me to do good. It don't matter what you do. You're going to be blessed anyway. Well, you try that. I'm going to stick to right here. I'm going to trust the Lord. I'm going to do good. Do good means do what's right before God. Do what's right before God. You feel like doing something else, but do what's right before God. Trust the Lord, do good, so shall thou dwell in the land. That means being established. And verily, thou shalt be fed. When you look at somebody and say, I'm going to be fed, I'm going to be fed. I'm going to be fed. I told y'all when my daughter first went to college, he was dating this young man. And he came from a very poverty-stricken background. And he kept telling my daughter, he said, you know, girl, if you be with me, we're going to eat. We're going to eat. And it really wasn't a big incentive for her to stay with him because she was already eating. Are you hearing me? See, some people, that's their biggest desire. They're going to be fed. They're going to be fed. God said, if you trust no one, you're going to be fed. I feed the birds. They neither sow nor do they spin. They don't gather in the barn. And I feed them, don't I? I'll feed you. I told y'all years ago, and I thought about it again this week. I told you years ago, you know, we should just have all this excess bread, and we were living in another house. And I went out on the back porch, and I it was just a random thought. And I got some bread, and I just started throwing it out on the yard. When I saw birds came from everywhere and got that bread, And some of the birds came down. They were a little timid. They were a little scared. Some of them came down like this, and went flying off with the bread. And then some of them came down and stood there, and they walked around like this. Like, I ain't scared. You walk up here if you want to. They're gangster birds, you know. And I'm just watching. And now watch this. Those birds, I'm sure, didn't go to bed the night before saying, I wonder how we going to eat in the morning. They just went to sleep. And I had a random thought. And the Lord said to me, if I can supply the birds food by you having a random thought, how much more am I mindful of you and put you on somebody's mind to bless you? And they don't even know why you crossed their mind. Are you hearing me here? I mean, I don't know. The people who I gave those checks to this morning, I don't know what they believe in God for. I don't know. None of them came to me. But it's just possible that someone said, you know, I sure wish I had a couple hundred. Man, if I just had a couple hundred dollars more. But God had already placed them on my mind. Are you hearing me? If you just fear the Lord, God will put you on people's minds and they'll bless you. They don't even know why they're blessing you. But you know they're blessing you because I walk in the fear of the Lord and there will be no lack in my life. God will raise up somebody. Somewhere, use their power, their ability, their influence to bless me. So if you trust in the Lord, dwell in the land, well, you're going to be fed. Look, somebody say, we're going to eat. Get it settled. I'm going to eat. Psalm 23:1 is not a funeral scripture. It's a scripture of assurance that God's going to take care of you. The Lord is my shepherd. If you walk in the fear of the Lord, that means he's your shepherd. You allow him to lead you and to guide you and direct you and order your steps and direct your path. That means he's your shepherd. He's not your shepherd if you're not living a life that's in obedience to his word. You choose whether he's your shepherd. Again, he's your savior. Is he your Lord? Is he your shepherd? The Lord is my shepherd. And as a result, I know that I allow him to lead me and guide me. I shall not what? I won't want. I won't lack. So that is a promise to those who walk in the fear of the Lord. Not only will we not lack, not only will we be fed, not only will we eat, now I can take it a little further. Say I'm going to eat good. I'm going to eat good. Now, can I tell you this? There was a time when I could eat a Waffle House steak and just, oh man, this is the best steak in the world. Man, this is some good steak here. Unfortunately, I've been to Ruth Chris. I could say that was a real good steak, but I've been to what's the place where I got, they only got one in Charlotte? What's the Capitol Grill? Y'all got to check out the Capitol. We don't have none of these places in Columbia. I'm trying to tell y'all. Okay, where you go? Capitol Grill. And I've been to Fleming's. Some of y'all with, we don't have those here. You got to go out of town. That's why you got to look your name and say, you got to get out of town. Got to get out of town, y'all. And so because I've had Ruth Chris steak and Fleming steak and the Capitol Grill, and we were watching a special yesterday about Dubai, okay, on television, and they showed this king's castle there that was a former king. We ate there, that now is a restaurant, and we ate out on the water, and they had this worldwide chef who I said, I'm going to have this medium well. He said, no, you cannot have this medium well. He said, you really need it rare, but he said, but at least do medium. And he explained to me, this is a grade above anything I could get in the United States. And I still remember that steak. My point is, because I have got some steak to compare it to, I'm now a critic of steak. I know the difference between eating steak and eating a good steak. Are you hearing me? Well, you look at your neighbor and say, God just don't want you to eat. He wants you to eat good. Oh, y'all aren't hearing me here. See, there's another level to living than just breathing. Come on now. There's another level to living than just making it. When you walk in the fear of the Lord, you're not going to just eat and be fed. You're going to eat good. Psalm 36 and 8 says, they shall be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of thy house. Glory to God. Say this, I'll be satisfied with the fatness of God's house. That means I can have God's best. Don't get mad at me because I walk in the fear of the Lord and I believe I can have God's best. They shall be abundantly, not just satisfied, abundantly, exceedingly above, satisfied with the fatness of thy house, and thou shalt make them drink of the river of thy pleasures. Man, that sounds good to me. That sounds better than Waffle House, y'all. Isaiah 1:19 tells us, if ye be willing and obedient, you just won't eat good. Yeah, I mean, you just won't eat. You'll eat the good of the land. The good of the land. That means the best that God has should be reserved for his people. When God was getting ready to call Saul to be anoint Saul to be the first king over Israel, Saul had lost his father's donkeys. And he went looking for them. And so he had spoke to Samuel. He said, Samuel, I'm going to send the king, the next king, to your house. He didn't know who was going to be. He said, but I want you to take this particular portion, I believe of the sheep, of the, which we would say steak, and preserve it and reserve it for the one that I'll tell you of. And when Saul shows up to get guidance, he really just came to get guidance. And his servant said, he said, we can go ask the seer, the man of God, the prophet. He can help us maybe find my father's sheep. And he said, what are we going to give him? He said, well, we can't just go before the man of God with nothing. He said, well, I got a couple shekels here. I got a couple coins. Perhaps we can give this to him. And he goes to present his gift. And the Lord speaks to Saul and said, this is the next king. And he says, and go get the portion that's reserved for him. I want you to know God got a portion reserved for you.
When we have reverential fear of God, we'll do right because it's right. We shouldn't fear God because of punishment, but because we love him and want to abide by his principles. Dr. Herbert Bailey calls us back to a place of respect and fear of the Lord. Order this powerful message today on CD or DVD. You may also get the MP3 download. Just call 1-877-798-LIFE or go online to rightdirection.info. Ask for The Fear of the Lord.
If you are in our area, come join us at one of our three locations.
In Columbia, South Carolina, Sunday morning worship is at 7:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. Wednesday Bible study is at 12 noon and 7 p.m. Friday, women's Bible study is at 12 noon. Our worship center is located at 3506 Broad River Road in Columbia. In Orangeburg, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Trey and Katie Brave for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 990 Willington Drive in Orangeburg. In Florence, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Dwayne and Denise White for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 1507 King Avenue in Florence. Please email your testimonies to praisereport@rightdirection.info or letters can be mailed to P.O. Box 21672, Columbia, South Carolina 29221. Please consider partnering with us or send a one-time financial gift. For more information, visit our website at rightdirection.info or call us toll-free at 877-798-5433. Right Direction Ministries, empowering people and changing generations.